We're going to go to the book of Luke chapter 6 this morning. Book of Luke chapter 6. Exciting days we live in, isn't it? Luke chapter number 6. We have dealt with much of the chapter. We're going to start this morning, verse number 27. And I'm going to read just three verses to start with, actually four, verse 27 to 30. And make a few comments and then go from there. But before we even do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for a time we can gather around the Word of God. We might learn your way and your will. Father, I pray that more than anything else, that our relationship with you might grow. Our desire to know you might be greater than ever before. And that we learn how to walk in the steps of the Lord. Somebody remind me this morning, let this mind be in us, O God, it's in you. And strengthen our resolve for you. Bless as we teach. Give us the power, the wisdom, the Spirit of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 6, verse number 27. Notice what it says. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Why did God put that there? You ever wondered that? Love your enemies. What do you want to do with your enemies? But God's ways are not our ways, are they? Love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. As we noted in previous lesson, we saw the great healing hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was evident everywhere. And Jesus didn't go to a funeral that didn't come up out of the grave. I don't think he saw too many people that didn't get healed. By the way, I mentioned this last week, but we hear a lot about faith healers today. I believe by faith that God can heal. I'm not too excited about faith healers that bonk you in the head and you fall over backwards and somebody catches you and you walk out saying glory to God and have the same thing. But we do have a great God. By the way, if we really believe in faith healers, why aren't they at the hospitals right now? And taking care of some things. Anyways, but the Lord can heal. I believe that with all my heart. I've seen that in my own life. I've seen it in some of your lives. Thank God for that. Now, in the midst of these miracles, we find that the Lord also pronounced some blessings and some woes upon his people. If you remember last week's lesson, just to rephrase it for a moment. And now we find, beginning in verse number 27, a series of commands in practical everyday living. And so we find some words there, and the commands, love, do, bless, pray, offer, give. Tremendous commands that God has given to us. After these particular commands, we will then look at what I would describe as commentary. And he has some comments about it to help us to understand it even more fully. And then we find a second group of commands that are given to us, and then some more commentary. And the latter commentary, we'll find it in parables, as the Lord takes those word pictures to help us to see what he's trying for us to understand. And so we're going to study this in that kind of light. First, the set of commands, followed by its commentary, then the second set of commands with their commentary. And if I can keep it simple in my own mind, maybe that help you, because I can get mixed up real quick. Can you? All right. I heard it said by my pastor years ago that a PhD meant piled higher and deeper, or a postal digger. He says, if you can't convey the truth of God's word, doesn't matter how many degrees you have on your name. And so we got to be in that area. And bless God, I trust that he can help me with that particular thing. One of the things I find is I don't talk over people's heads. I don't think, because I don't know how to talk over people's heads. Now, there might be some words I know that you don't know. You might have some words that I don't know. But by and large, I think we're on the same page. Well, let's think about these commands that he gives us to. we find in these commands something very, very unusual. Love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them despitefully use you. Wow. Give to every man that asketh of thee. I find he's really against the grain of human nature. It's not the way we responded before we got saved. And sadly, if we're not living in the Spirit of God, we probably don't respond that way even now. But God's given to us some tremendous, tremendous thoughts to go in that direction. The normal actions of men are to retaliate against those that oppose us. Our fleshly appetite aside, we are then taught to show people that we love them instead. That's difficult to do. And there's only one way that takes place. And that's as you and I live in the Spirit of God. Isn't that true? When we read the book of Philippians, we find he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And we find that as we study the context of that, it shows us the mind of Christ, and it was a mind of humility. It was a mind that did not set himself above people, but with them and for them. And there are folks out there who oppose themselves. There are folks out there who oppose us and what we stand for. But how are we going to win them? Cursing them or loving them? How's it going to take place? Now, one of the things that we understand is this is strictly an act of the will. Our emotions are quite different. Emotionally, we want to retaliate. But you realize today that you can have an action of the will even though you don't feel like it. Some of you have heard me say this, but let me tell you how that came to my own mind, how that came about in my life. And I was very upset of a few things that my own mother had said about me and had bothered me greatly. And I was just hurt on the inside. And if I told you what it was, you'd probably understand, but that's all aside. I dealt with that for a long time. And one day somebody said, you know, you need to just, by your will, do what God wants you to do. And so I went to the Lord and I said, Lord, I don't feel like it, but I know I should. And I want my will to be your will. And the best I know how, please forgive me and give me the right attitude. See what happened? I didn't feel any better. See, you didn't? No, I didn't. But then about a month later, I realized I did. Because the feelings kind of came a little bit later. But I had the action of the will. And so we understand that as we deal with other people, we know what we should do. Our emotions might be the opposite of that, but we can still love them. We can still love them. We can still be somebody that cares for them. And by the way, I believe that is faith in action. It is a belief that God knows best how to deal with others. When did God love us? When we were perfect or when we were imperfect? It's in our imperfection. And so you and I need to remember that. There's a verse found in Romans chapter 2. I've always been amazed by the last phrase. Let me read that verse. It says, or despises thou the richness of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing, listen to this part, that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. I always feared it was the judgment of God, which God does judge and ought to lead us to that, especially if you read a book like Ezekiel. But the goodness of God can lead us to repentance. By the way, it's the goodness of God that brings some preacher along that tells us that we're wrong and we need to turn to him. And you could be that preacher. And people are going to listen to you, not because you hate them, but because you love them and show them that. And so these commands, I believe, are quite remarkable. And I believe these commands are teaching us something very, very valuable, and that is when we practice this, it has a tremendous influence upon those in the world. A tremendous influence. It's basically, if you notice verse 31, what's it say in verse 31? Some people call it the golden rule, and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. It's simply treating people the way we wish to be treated. Very simple. Someone has to start a new relationship when it comes to the lost person. It's probably not going to be the lost person with us. If we're going to be like Christ, then we must start that. And how are we going to do it? Well, love our enemies. Do good to them that despise us, hate us. Okay? Pray for those. I mean, those kinds of things. Give. God's teaching us some valuable, valuable things. That's how people come to understand the value of Christ in their lives through us. See, he works through people. A while ago I mentioned about faith healing. Here's what I believe about faith healing. I believe that we can ask God and God will heal if it's his will. It's not always his will. Sometimes God allows us to go through some things for some purpose. And we can learn some things. Listen, 3 years ago, one of the greatest times in my life, laying in a bed and couldn't move one direction or the other. And God's people praying and all those things, it was remarkable to me. And God wants us to understand that we can be an influence in the life of other people if through those kinds of circumstances we can show them love, show them that we care. Okay? And that's the way Lord Jesus, I believe, operated. Verse 32, let's go there. Read a few verses. It says, "For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye?" So who ought to start it? I think it ought to be us. "For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners and to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." These commands, listen, they show something the world has never known. It's showing to them there is something that is out there that they do not deserve, and there's somebody displaying Christ to them. It's interesting what I read in the book of Proverbs. We take this to heart, it would kind of help us. It says in Proverbs 25:21, "If thine enemy hunger, give him bread to eat. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink." You know what the next verse says? "For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee." Well, the best way to get even with somebody is to be kind to them. That don't sound like it's the way the world says, does it? But it works. It works. And that's what God wants to do. Listen, it defeats hatred. I mean, when they have that hatred to us and we show them love, it defeats it. That's what he means by heaping coals of fire upon their head. And it shows to them none other than God. Be therefore merciful, verse 36, as your Father also is merciful. Amen? So, where can we have the greatest area of faith, when things are against us, when things are difficult, when things are hard, it's then that we can look to God and people can see through it. But also some of the greatest time of witness is to people who despise us, when in the face of that, we can show them kindness and love. And they don't know what to do with it. Wow. There was a time that I rode motorcycles. I'd still be riding them, but Mrs. Springer's having a fit about me even thinking about it. So I sold the last one. And don't tell her, but if I could do it, I'd do it again. Anyways, there was a time a number of years ago. How many of you remember Lonnie? Lonnie Hager. Okay. And some of you have no idea. Lonnie was he was a biker for years and years. And he came to our church. And Lonnie hung around. You might not know this, but he never was one, but he hung around the Hells Angels. And amongst those, he had one very good friend, and his name was Red Andrews. Some in this room might remember a guy named Red Andrews coming to church here. He got saved, by the way. And so he and Red and I, there were a number of times we'd go biking. And we'd pull up someplace. I'll tell you what, I got in some places I would have never even dreamt of getting into if I wasn't with them. But there'd be some of those kinds of guys. Stop at a restaurant somewhere, and there'd be three or four of those guys. And, I mean, they look mean and burly, and, you just wonder if you'd walk out alive. And yet it was really interesting to see, by just saying hello to them, being kind to them, how open they were. They weren't used to people outside of their group being that way. Now, Lonnie gave me, and of course, Red gave me a little bit of an in on that, but it was magnificent to see that take place. And had some great opportunities with these kinds of fellas. It became that even by myself, I would run into some of those kind, and it was just amazing how God would use those moments together. And praise the Lord for it. It shows to them God. verse 37. We're going to go a little farther. Verse 37. It says, "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give unto your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Wow. Now let's understand something. We come to this verse where it says, "Judge not." And I think we need to understand what he's referring to here. This does not mean that we cannot discern things. For instance, in the book of John, he says, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." And we got to make judgment about things. Okay? For instance, I had the privilege to witness those guys, but I wouldn't go into a bar to try to witness to them. Even if I didn't go in with an intention of drinking, I just wouldn't want to be associated there. Because of that, and that I believe is the discernment part. And so the Lord doesn't forbid us to have a discerning spirit, but I believe what he's talking about here is having a critical spirit. Having a critical spirit. We can come to church just looking for something that's wrong. And let's face it, we all give them plenty of material. Isn't that true? So, you know, I mean, they can find something. If you don't have a list very big, well, come and ask me. I can elongate your list for you. And we can come with just the idea of seeing what's wrong. Some people do that with the people in church. Some people do that with the preacher in church. Some people do that with the practices, whatever it might be. And having a critical spirit ought not to be. Now, there's a difference between judging the actions of a person and judging a person. Do you know what I mean by that? Let's put it this way. Horrible illustration came to my mind. You got a little child sticks a stick up his nose. Now, that's pretty stupid, isn't it? But are you going to call the child stupid or call his action stupid? There's a difference. And because a child does that, yeah, it's a pretty stupid action, but that doesn't mean they're stupid. Do you know we have a lot of young people today, they think that they are stupid because of the way we handle those kinds of situations. Not too long ago, I had a young lady say she thought she was a loser. Straight A student. Brilliant. Gets a bad grade one time, thinks they're a loser. How'd that come about? Well, evidently there's some critical spirit somewhere in her life. And it just ought not be. So the Lord said, judge not, lest ye be judged. So what's it saying? It's saying something very, very interesting, and that is this: it will come back to us. Having a critical spirit will reciprocate itself. You've heard the old term, what goes around comes around. You know the law of sowing and reaping. It's a law. Cause and effect. And so you and I, if we have that kind of spirit, it's going to come back. Now he does this and talks about it in a negative sense, but he also talks about it in a positive sense. Notice two times he says, judge not and condemn not. And then he says, forgive, and he says, give. So two of them are negative, two of them are positive. And so if we have a generous spirit, what happens? It comes back to us. It works. And by the way, this principle is especially true with God. And it's neat just to see. So judge not, and you shall not be judged. Don't be judging the individual. By the way, we're already condemned, right? Because we don't believe. And thank God that when we do believe, the condemnation is gone. That isn't ours to do the condemning. It's not ours to bring that kind of judgment, but it is ours to discern some things that we not go down a wrong path. But we can have a critical spirit towards people and basically turn them off. Do you know why a lot of people don't go to church or anything to do with God? Because of the critical spirit of God's people. Not telling them that's sin, but telling them how big a horrible sinner they are. There's a little bit difference there. Now, we understand that difference, but they don't always understand that. So we find these commands. Again, they're not our natural thing, but in the Spirit of God, we can. Now, let's notice here the second commentary. In verse number 39, he says, he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? Interesting. Can you see the picture? Okay. The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thy eye, that thou mayest behold when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly, pull out the beam, the mote that is in thy brother's eye. Wow. And so he's given us some thoughts here. I mean, the first couple of verses there, 39 and 40, really, I think he's saying, hey, if we're leading others and we are with critical spirit, we're not going to be leading them in the right direction. That's very true, religious leaders. That's why Jesus was so hard on the scribes and the Pharisees in Matthew 23. And before we get critical of the actions of others, we need to look in the mirror first. I believe that's what we read in verse 41 and 42. We just need to see ourselves and make the judgment there first. You ever look at somebody and say, boy, I wish they'd grow up? But have you ever, at the same time that you were, let's talk about maturity as a Christian. But if you take yourself back to the same time that they're in right now, were you grown up? And so we need to look at ourselves first. And it helps us with other people. See? Interesting. Verse 43 and 44, notice here, we need to self-inspect, see what kind of tree we are. It says, for a good tree bringeth forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For thorns men do gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes. So we need to look inside, see what kind of tree we are. Listen, before I step in the pulpit, I need to look at self before I try to tell you how to do something. And there's something very obvious. If I don't, you're going to catch that. And so what he's saying is there's a whole lot of it's just about the heart. A good man, verse 45, out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of the heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Wow. It really becomes all a matter of the heart. I don't think it's on anymore, but there used to be a show on the radio that I listened to from time to time called Dr. Laura. Is she still around? Is she? I don't know. Dr. Laura, she's a Jewish woman, and she's one of these people called in, and they want advice. I began to notice something. It really made me upset at first, because they would say just a few words, and she'd tell them exactly what was wrong. And I thought, Laura, you're not listening to them. You know what she was doing? She understood a principle, and that is what came out of their mouth first is what revealed who they really were. And it was amazing to see how she would deal with that and help people to come to realize that in their lives. Some of them didn't, but many, many did. Now, I don't believe she was probably a saved woman, but she had some principles there that was tremendous. And what do we know? Really, everything comes out of the heart. And where's the heart at? Becomes important. Very, very important. See, how can I tell where my heart is? Well, I think the next few verses say a few things. In verse 46 says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he's like. He's going to be somebody who seeks to obey the commands of the Lord. If we have the heart of God, we want to do the will of God, but the will of God is simply finding what he says in his word and doing it. We call that obedience. So we become obedient to his life. And in the last few verses, he demonstrates how this works in the storms of life. He says, a man which built a house, dig deep, and laid the foundation on a rock, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently on the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like the man without a foundation, built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Houses need foundations. Gary's a builder. How deep you got to go to get a good foundation in our area? 42 inches. Why we got to go 42 inches? Frost line. Why do you want to be below frost line? Because frost expands the soil. And if it expands under the footing, what happens? It's going to raise, it's going to crack it. And you don't have a good foundation. So the general rule in our area is it needs to be at least 42 inches deep. You don't need to really worry about that down in the deserts of Arizona. But up here you need to. And I imagine if we go farther north up into North Dakota, it's probably a little deeper than that. Do you know? I don't know. Probably. Yeah. And so there's a reason for that. It must have a good foundation. What's the foundation? Well, the Lord's the foundation of anything, is he not? And you and I, if we're going to have the right relationship with God and follow the leadership of his Spirit, we have to have a talking relationship with him, do we not? I mean, that's what a relationship is, isn't it? Have you ever seen two young people fall in love that didn't talk to each other? I've seen marriages fall apart because they quit talking to each other. But there's that communication that takes place. And that's how things build in lives and draws us close together. That's why, by the way, things like we're going to do today with the dinner over there and just a time to sit back. We come to church sometimes and don't really get to talk to people like at other times. And so it becomes very important in building relationships. By the way, let me point this out. It'd be good for you not to always sit with the same people. You say, well, those folks are kind of nerdy. Well, look in the mirror, amen. They're kind of weird. Yeah, who is it? Makes the world interesting. If we're going to have a relationship with people, we have to have that kind of verbiage, do we not? Listen, we're getting to something here. That must be true with God. We're not going to have that relationship. First of all, we don't listen to him talk to us. And he does that through the Word of God. He also, by the way, does that. You got to be careful with this one, but he also does that through the Spirit of God. I use these words, but don't take them wrong, in an intuitive fashion. The Spirit of God directs us in unusual ways sometimes. Have you ever felt like, boy, I need to talk to them about Christ? Who put that in your heart? Yeah, we know from the Word of God it's his will that people be saved. And so he's directing us. He's given somebody, laying upon our heart to go that direction. So we listen to the Spirit of God in those kinds of things. And we certainly listen to the Word of God. And then we talk to him. By the way, you don't have to be on your knees talking. Many of you, the way you drive, you need to be praying while you're driving. Believe me, I'm praying for some of you when you're driving, when you're close to me. But seriously, we have that tremendous privilege. Tremendous privilege. Do you know one reason that people of Open Door Baptist Church love Doc Martin so much and Dee? Because they have that kind of relationship with God. And it's drawing. And it makes them have that loving spirit we're talking about. It's exciting. By the way, they're not the only ones. I don't believe that at all. But they are very key in that area. Give you a little story. Yesterday, as I was talking to Doc, he said, "You remember when I first came?" He said, "You asked me if I'd teach a class." And he said, "I told you no." I said, "Yeah." I said, "But Doc, you've been teaching a class ever since, and you just didn't know it." He wasn't in a room with just some young people or older folks, but it was one person to the next. And it's amazing what can be done. And so all of us can have that kind of thing. Anyways, I'm getting off my track. We trust this to be a great great day, the rest of it. We're going to have a word of prayer, be dismissed from this time. And then this morning, be having our service. My sons are out of town, by the way. Something was planned long before we was planning this. And anyways, Q's going to lead songs today. That'll be exciting. He used to do that all the time. The thing we don't know when Q's leading songs, what's going to happen next. All right. And then we have some special music. Mr. and Mrs. Hill are here this morning, and he's a tremendous singer. We have one of these. How many CDs do you have?
CDs?
Yeah. 10. 10 different ones?
Yes.
Oh, really? I only have one. I gotta get caught up.
Yeah. I can take care of that.
You can take care of that? Okay. See my wife back there. She'll be, yeah, amen. All righty. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time. Pray you'll bless and work in the hour to follow. We pray, oh God, that you might be glorified through all that is said and done in those minutes. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen.